On July 17, 1981, the Kansas City Hyatt Hotel Skywalk fell onto the unsuspecting attendants at one of the hotel's popular tea dances. It was the deadliest structural collapse in U.S. history until the fall of the South Tower on September 11th. Many have fought to establish a monument to the wounded and the dead. This year, 34 years later, they finally broke ground on the Hyatt Skywalk Memorial to honor those who were lost. This is the story of a survivor who will never escape the memory of that tragedy and who is fighting to make sure the world will always remember. This is Saul.
My name is Saul Koenigsberg, and I was at the Hyatt Hotel tea dance on July 17th, 1981, along with my wife. And she was still grieving from the loss of her father. Her father fought in the French army and was captured by the Germans and was in a German prisoner of war camp for 5 years, and she loved him dearly. And I said, let's try to ease some of your grieving and entertain ourselves with a tea dance. We turned up at the tea dance at around 6 o'clock or so. It was announced that there was going to be a contest. We didn't want to engage ourselves in a contest. So we stood on the sidelines, and the sidelines were under the skywalk. The band started playing Satin Doll, a Duke Ellington piece.
It's called Satin Doll.
Well, the tea dance was mainly for people in middle age. They actually held on to each other when they danced. Not like today. People dance all by themselves with all kinds of gyrations. They can be enjoying themselves. But we, in our middle age, love to dance with swing, with rumba, all the ballroom dances. And this is a big band that played, Steve Miller's band. And people would come out to enjoy themselves. This was something that was started some weeks before we went. And the dancers, the contestants, started to dance. About 3 minutes later, everything went dark. I didn't hear a thing. The next thing I knew, I couldn't move. I was buried under the debris. My wife was too. But some of the debris fell around her, and she saw a person crawling out. And she just followed that person, so she was not physically hurt. My black shoes were showing out of the debris, and hotel staff and other volunteers pulled me out. And I learned that my back had been broken in 3 places, with compressed fractures. My left leg was crushed, and I had some internal injuries. My wife was stayed with me. We were taken by stretchers, and somebody put me on a serving platter and put me on the sidewalk with her. And that famous picture was taken of us holding hands. And, you know, they had a triage development where people were evaluated as whether or not this was, their life was in danger, and they were moved up first. And we were on the sidewalk for a couple of hours. And Mayor Berkeley came running to the scene, and the first people he saw were my wife and me on the sidewalk. And somebody came up and said, are these family? He says, no, they're friends. And he almost went into shock. This was a very, very difficult time for him as mayor. My wife, however, went into shock. And I nearly lost her. From then on, she suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome on top of the post-traumatic stress system she already suffered. My wife was a young girl in France during the war and the Nazi occupation, and she had to hide and underwent the horrors of being chased by the SS and the Nazis, who were trying to find her and kill her just because she was Jewish. She managed to survive, however, but that experience stayed with her, and she had nightmares about it just about every night, along with the nightmares she had with the Hyatt collapse of that skywalk. She had those nightmares until she died last year. And then when I was in the hospital, a number of doctors surrounded my bed and said, "Well, you survived. You must have something to do." And my response was, "And those people who were killed didn't?" And then about 2 days after I was in the hospital, I had a flashback. I was in the Navy in World War II and served on a destroyer escort, and we were under attack again. But that only lasted for about 10 minutes, and I never had a flashback again. So I associated the disaster we were in with my combat experience. But that's all behind us. It took me about a year to fully recover. And that was because I had a very excellent surgeon. He fixed my leg up and told me I would never walk without a limp. What did he know? I went, got up every morning at 5:30 and went swimming. And from swimming, I went to physical therapy every morning. From there, I went to my office. And I went and went and suffered the agony of these exercises that my physical therapist put me through, but I don't limp. And then I learned that a couple of men were working on an actual memorial, and they put an item in the newspaper, in the Kansas City Star, and said, "We are starting up this committee, and we'd like to know if there's anybody interested in joining us." Well, I had 42 years of experience in fundraising, and since I was a survivor, I volunteered. We didn't have many other people volunteering, and we began to lay out a plan. They had already gotten underway and started the fundraising, and they found that the fundraising was being met with a lot of resistance. There was no personal identification with it, and a lot of people wanted to put it behind them. Too painful. There are people now in their 20s and 30s who never heard of this. And we are determined with the building of this memorial that they know that this historical event happened in Kansas City and that people responded. Volunteers came out in droves. People lined up at the blood center to give blood. The media was all over the place. 30 years later, that's not the case. My wife knew that I was working on it and frequently said, "Look, you've been retired now for a number of years. You've been raising money for many, many years. And I hear you being rejected so many times. What do you need this for? You've had enough already." But I said, "You know, when we start a job, we're going to finish whatever time it takes." My wife developed a couple of years ago, we found that she had lung cancer and was discovered. It was already in stage 4. And I lost her in January of 2014, after 62 years of marriage. We went to the attorneys who represented the survivors and some of the people killed, and other private individuals, and were able to raise the most money needed to really start the construction. There remains, however, another amount, and I would estimate it's something like between $50,000 and $100,000 that needs to be raised in order to ensure the maintenance. But we have the money to build the memorial, so we're building it. And now we're beginning to work on collecting the remaining amount that's due. To put what I said in other terms, I'd want people of all ages, people from this metropolitan area, people from schools, universities, to come sit at the memorial and think about that horrible night when the skywalk came. came down and crushed people to death. And at the same time, remember, the community did come together, and it should never, never be forgotten, generation after generation.